EJ, as inflation continues to run at a relatively high pace, the cost of goods and services that people need every day going up and up and up, is the American consumer really starting to be stretched to the breaking point here?
Well, I don't think it's so much that they're starting to. I think it started probably about a year ago. Consumers at this point are really genuinely stretched. That's a key reason why we have $1 trillion in credit card debt right now, even at a time when credit card rates, interest rates, are at a record high. Consumers are relying on virtually any kind of debt they can to make ends meet. Over 60% of Americans, for example, are living paycheck to paycheck right now.
When you talk about that credit card debt, EJ, and the fact that those rates are going up, interest rates are going up, what impact is that also having on the federal government, which has run up our federal deficit, borrowing debt to historic levels here? Is it impacting them as well?
Well, those higher interest rates are increasing borrowing costs for everyone, not just you and me, but for businesses as well, and also for the federal government. That's particularly troubling because the federal government doesn't actually pay off any of its debt, and it hasn't for many years. Instead, when debt comes due, they simply roll it over. That's just basically the equivalent of you or I having a credit card that after a promotional period, let's say, the bill comes due, and instead of paying it, we simply take out another credit card and roll over the balance onto the new card. So we're just constantly paying finance charges or interest. We're not actually paying down the debt. That's what the government's doing. So that's very problematic today because we're taking old debt that was issued at 1, 2, 3%, and we're rolling it over at 4 or 5%. So even if the amount of debt doesn't change, the interest costs are still exploding. To make matters worse, the amount of the debt is not staying the same. The amount of the debt is increasing. So we're getting a double whammy on the federal budget now.
The federal budget, of course, was due October 1st. We're operating under a continuing resolution until the middle of next month here, EJ. Are you seeing any signs that Congress is taking seriously the fact that all of this spending and driving up debt is causing the payment on those debts to go up? Any real effort there to try to rein that spending back in?
Among Congress as a whole, no, absolutely not. But among individuals within Congress, yes. And the reason that's so important is because a few individuals right now are able to hold up a lot of appropriations in Congress. I think the very contentious fight in the House over the speakership is actually a good thing. We are no longer having these secret meetings behind closed doors where the uniparty just gets whatever it wants, and we have these blowout spending, omnibus spending bills. Instead, there's a push for regular order, for passing actual appropriations bills, actual budgets, and we're having the fight for the speaker out in broad daylight. And look, daylight is the best disinfectant on a corrupt system.
Inflation, of course, is the big economic news, the big problem that we are facing here, and you just talk to some of the reasons why we're having that inflation. As you look at some of these statistics, producer price index, some of the other statistics that have come out in recent weeks, is there any hint that the rate of inflation is going to slow down? Last month, it sort of ticked up a little bit more than expected.
No, we really don't have any indication that we're going to see inflation come down appreciably, certainly not get back to that 2% target of the Federal Reserve, which in and of itself, frankly, is kind of silly. The target should be zero. The goal should not be to have 2% inflation. It should be zero. But we have that 2% target because, unfortunately, that's what the politicians think they can get away with. They think they can have that inflation tax of 2% and people won't mind. And unfortunately, historically, that has been the case. But in terms of where inflation is heading right now, getting back to that, if you look at the monthly increases in prices, in other words, the monthly inflation rate since June of last year, and you annualize those changes, you can very, very clearly see that inflation has not been trending towards 2%. And everyone who has been telling you that it was lying. Inflation has been trending to over 3%. We are there. And again, there's no sign that we're going to go appreciably lower anytime soon. And it's because we continue to have government spending and borrowing too much money.
Our economy is not the only one in deep trouble. China, which is our largest, I believe, trading partner, has had an overheated economy, but there are a lot of cracks starting to develop here in China and in their economy. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because this is a most fascinating direction for an economy of that size.
Well, you're absolutely right that China does have a lot of problems within its economy right now. Many of them actually stem from its terrible one-child policy, because a lot of the measures put in place by the Chinese Communist Party were similar to our social security system in that they are essentially set up as Ponzi schemes, and they rely on an ever-increasing population. In fact, to a certain extent, the population needs to continue growing at an increasing rate. And that clearly is not happening anymore. And so you're seeing various collapses within the Chinese economy. You also are seeing tremendous gaps between the skill sets of workers and the actual skills needed to continue being such a manufacturing powerhouse as it has become. China also has just been spending and spending and spending like there's no tomorrow. In other words, the things that our government has been doing, the Chinese Communist Party has done on steroids, things like their Belt and Road Initiative, for example. And so as a consequence of that, they have issued a tremendous amount of debt, which they will never be able to repay. And finally, that's catching up with them. And as these different bills come due, they are essentially seeing a collapse that is a very, very strong indicator of where we are headed if we do not turn this around.
I was going to say, it would seem to me that maybe there are some lessons from them we could learn over all of this.
Oh, 100%, absolutely. You know, the Chinese miracle, as it has been called for so many years, was an economic growth that was almost unprecedented in the history of the world, and it happened specifically because they removed the shackles of communism from much of the economy. That's not to say they didn't have a communist government. They did. But much like several communist countries in South America did in the 70s, 80s, and even into the 90s, they made their markets free. And so instead of being a socialist economy, they became a capitalist economy. And as a result of that, they saw tremendous economic growth. But under Xi Jinping, the current dictator in China, we've seen exactly the opposite. He has been returning the economy to the bureaucrats and the apparatchiks in the Chinese Communist Party. And as a result of that, that economic miracle, that tremendous growth, it's all going away.
We have been talking with E.J. Antoni, who is a research fellow at the Heritage Foundation based in Washington, D.C. E.J., tell us a little bit about Heritage, and you have written articles on both the challenges facing the American consumer and the economic woes of China. Where can folks go if they want to read those articles and many others?
Best place to find all my articles and all my reviews of data releases, et cetera, it's all going to be on Twitter or X, whatever we're calling it these days. But the handle there is @RealEJAntoni.
And a bit about the Heritage Foundation.
The Heritage Foundation is a free market, independent think tank based in Washington, D.C. We're there to educate not only our fellow Americans, but also our leaders in government, especially in D.C., but also throughout the states.
E.J. Antoni of the Heritage Foundation. E.J., thank you for being back with us. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me.